We're just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
It's amazing that you took that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Have yeah,
to
absolutely,
be
because
you.
I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Well, it's that time again. It's Oh Really Radio time. This is show 50 for Friday, March 20th, 2015. And we're going to be talking about that GOP budget. And with me, I have one of my usual suspects from the beginning of the show. We've got Don Davis.
Good evening.
Long time no see. Welcome
Hello.
Back. Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah.
Our
Lots
other
of family stuff.
Oh yeah, it's perfectly fine. That's where our other usual suspects are off doing. I managed to marry off Mike and Jess together, and they're off on their honeymoon weekend extravaganza as it just continues to roll on. They're visiting like the Salvador Dali Museum and things like that in Tampa. So they're having a grand old time, and we miss you, and we hope you're having a good time. You better be having a good time, gosh darn it. And David's dealing with some. David's dealing with some family stuff, and we'll leave it at that. Okay.
Yep.
So, just recently, as in Tuesday, the GOP decided to drop a bit of an atom bomb on us by releasing the budget for 2016, the annual United States budget, a little bit early. And, well, it kind of sucks.
Anything that comes early is rushed out. Of course,
it'll probably suck. It's not so much rushed out as it is rehashed.
Well, no, they're excited to put it up, probably.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. but it's a little bit of Paul Ryan's old budget and a little bit of this new cat that's now stepped up to the plate. His name is Tom Price. It's really much of the same, some highlights, and then I've got a clip from, Bernie Sanders to play for everybody, though it is long and Bernie does tend to drone on a little bit since he's a senator used to filibustering. Well, he fits right into this show, honestly. he'll go ahead and dismantle it a little further. But the document that they've come up with, what they're trying to do, and I like this idea, they're trying to eliminate the deficit by 2024 entirely. Now, that sounds good, except also the it's rather aggressive. It assumes that there will be over 10 years that there will be a $2 trillion savings from the full repeal of the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. That's not going to happen on his watch, that's for sure. So if that stays in the bill will be vetoed. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Yeah.
They're not telling you everything either, I'm sure. I'm sure putting in a lot of the costs of repealing.
Oh, it gets so much better than that. So much better. Price's plan would cut $913 billion in Medicaid spending by shifting it to grant programs, which would be the voucher programs that that Ryan was trying to shove down the old folks' necks. It would devolve other programs.
They understand that just as well.
Well, the thing is, at that point, then you're having to figure it all out on your own. You don't have then like care advocates or anybody that can really look out for your best interests. You actually have you've got a coupon for healthcare, and they can manipulate the value of that coupon, you know, as much as they like. So
unfortunately, elderly people like coupons, but they hate changing to new things, and that's going to be a really new thing.
They don't
like doing stuff on their own a lot of times.
Yeah. So just to draw a somewhat parallel, when my workplace changed their insurance, we were forced to go with a healthcare spending account, an HSA plan. And I have a MasterCard for that. Now that's nice and all. They say that you can go ahead and, you know, buy your vitamins and your over-the-counter medicines and things like that with it. And it'll, you know, just swipe it and do your thing and treat it like a normal credit card. So the money that you put in and the money that the company puts in will just kind of take care of it. I accept that it's not taken everywhere because it denies it, thinking that you're trying to buy something else. So I can't effectively use the damn thing.
No, you probably can work and you only use it maybe at a CVS, Walgreens, any of the big name chain pharmacy.
Except that it wouldn't even work there.
Oh, great. Because they sell so many other things.
Because they sell everything as well, yeah. So it only worked, it worked for a copay at the doctor's office. It worked for, you know, when the hospital called me saying, hey, would you like to pay that emergency room visit that you had on Christmas? And I said, oh yeah, I guess I would. Oh, wait, I have a credit card for that. Here, take this. yeah, it's dangerous to go alone. Take this. So it's good for certain things. But I think I'm being ripped off.
Oh, yeah.
I have that overwhelming sense that I'm being completely ripped off.
Especially if it's a use it or lose it.
But it is a partial. Yeah. It is a partial use it or lose it.
And that's where they want people not to use it. So they get to keep the money.
Yeah. Well, somebody does. Goes into some account somewhere. Yeah. Okay. So back to screwing the poor. Let's see. So it would devolve into other programs into like grant programs done at the state level. So the states would be individually required to deal with it. And we've seen how well they were dealing with giving healthcare out at all.
Yeah, which they don't want to deal with because it's more money for them.
No.
They're already trying to shut down state healthcare the state health departments.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And this would also include food stamps and transportation funding, SNAP and WIC.
Ooh.
And Pell grants for college tuition would also shrink.
Oh, yeah.
Which, of course, doesn't mesh very well. It doesn't dovetail at all with President Obama's plan to have 2 years of college free for everybody that wants to take advantage of it and pass.
Yeah, which, and education is important.
It is vitally important. It's vitally important, and apparently the Republicans don't want us to have an education at all.
Well, without education, they'll have less doctors, so they won't have to pay for as much health care.
Right. Yeah, that's it exactly. Like with previous Republican budgets, Price's plan contains no tax increases. It assumes that Congress will enact revenue-neutral reforms to the tax code to reduce rates while ending many tax breaks. It assumes this as part and parcel of how it is written. It blanketly assumes that that's what's going to happen.
Of course.
That has not ever happened.
No.
It also leaves all of the details for later on how that's actually going to happen. It doesn't even like give a hint as to, well, we could do this here and here. He said that the tax reform and other proposals, including a rollback of financial regulations enacted in 2010, would unleash stronger economic growth that will help slash deficits by more than $1 trillion through 2025. He is literally pulling $1 trillion out of his asshole.
Just like, they like to promise that, of course.
He has no clue where he's actually going to get that money from and makes no bones about it. He leaves it completely blank and it just simply assumes. And of course, all of these growth assumptions are baked right into the budget numbers, and they have not been confirmed by the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, at all. I got this reporting from Reuters, from David Lauder, Robert Rampton, and editing was Kevin Drawbaugh and Susan Heavey and Tom Brown. So thank you very much, folks, for actually doing real reporting. Also, there was a a comment from Trent Franks, a Republican out of Arizona. He'll most likely support the budget, but he said, quote, "I was pretty impressed with the creativity here. I won't call it political gymnastics, but it certainly could be called parliamentary contortionism."
I like that.
Parliamentary contortionism.
I like that. That's a good saying.
Yeah, and this is from a Republican that's going to support it. That's high praise. That's high praise, my friend. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Of course, also not to, I overlooked, one line here. And that was the, let's see, it's the thing that they don't want to say. Let's see. Ah, yeah. Price's plan. Shh. Don't tell anybody. Could struggle to gain support by deeply divided, House Republicans. It seeks to skirt sequester spending caps, nominally keeping them in place to please deficit hawks while boosting military spending by adding nearly $40 billion to an off-budget war funding account.
So if they didn't add that, how much? That would be 40% of what they're trying to save?
Yeah. $40 billion to an off-budget war funding account, which means that's just like slush and hush money. Yeah. That they just want to have available because.
Yeah, just let's just throw money at that. And as the military budget is already well over half the entire budget.
Ah, well,
why not? Why not?
I have a pie chart. We all love pie charts, right? I love pie. We just had pie day.
Pie
yeah, see, for those of you that are actually watching out on the YouTube, you'll see that that I have said pie chart here held in front of the camera, you know, awkwardly. And by the way, if you're listening to the audio feed, you can find us out there at youtube.com/oreallyradio, and you'll find almost all the shows are right there. I can't really attest to the quality because, Google Hangouts does what Google Hangouts does. So I really encourage you all to actually download the audio after the fact because the quality is at least 10 times higher. Easily. It's not edited, yeah. Mind you. It's not edited any better. You're still going to get all the ums and oohs and you know, flubs and everything else and every tangent
blah, blah, blah.
And every bad pronunciation I have for people's names out there.
Yeah.
Some things just never change. It's not going away.
And anyway, maybe they shouldn't.
Yeah. So this chart, the giant overwhelming majority of the chart, a 57% of our national federal spending is military.
And it's kind of shocking, but what shocks me even more is stuff that makes us live, like food and agriculture, is 1%.
Yeah, it's a tiny little sliver. Itty-bitty-bitty tiny. Food and agriculture, 1%. Labor, 2%. Transportation, 3%. Science, a measly 3%. Energy and environment, a measly 3%. International affairs, 3%. I would just include that with military.
Yeah. Yeah, I really would. Health, 5%. Housing and community, 5%.
Yeah.
Veterans benefits, 6%. So there's a lot of veterans out there.
Yeah.
But they deserve it. I'm not saying that's a good thing. They need that money.
Well, we have all the veterans because we spend all that money on the military.
Exactly. And then 6% on government and 6% on education. At least we're spending similar on both of those.
I am shocked that we're spending 6% on education. I would like to know where those numbers actually are going.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I really haven't seen that as being a thing. No. But
see,
should the government actually go ahead and do the college thing for everyone, then I could see maybe it's like, okay, that would add maybe like, what, 0.5% to this? Maybe?
Probably. Yeah, not even.
Yeah.
But see, if I look at it this way, if you cut the pie in half instead of 57%, those other 7% could be spread out really nicely.
All we have to do is not invade a country. That's really all we have to do.
For a few years. I mean,
yeah. Come
on, at least a few years.
Well, in the entire nation's history, we haven't been at war for about 7 years. Really? I'm not even joking. We have been in a conflict, pretty much every year of this country's existence.
Well, that's how the military and the war machine works. That's how it makes money.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, in this pie chart, it is important to note that somewhere within the tiny orange sliver, which is the food and agriculture 1%, also exists the food stamp program that the Republicans typically blame for our budget deficit.
Yep, because that's what matters. That tenth of a percent, whatever percentage, the percent of a percent.
Yeah, I made a comment on somebody's post about basically this was that, in my opinion, every bullet fired at someone to kill them is a sandwich taken out of a child's hands. Mm-hmm. Every single bullet. Certainly, there are bullets that are cheaper. Certainly. However, we also have Tomahawk missiles. So I think that at some point, if we loaded those all into the giant ammunition barrel, as it were, that every one of those would equate to about a sandwich for a kid. So not only are you taking food out of the mouths of hungry children, you are also using that food. You're compressing that sandwich into a bullet to kill somebody.
Yep.
It's wrong on two levels, in my opinion. Because we just don't need to do that anymore as a nation.
And that Tomahawk missile is enough to buy sandwiches for pretty much all the kids in the country.
Yeah, it wouldn't take that much. It really wouldn't. It's absolutely silly. Okay, so now, as I'm simply an armchair quarterback in all of this, and not very good, obviously, otherwise I'd actually be in politics, I suppose, we have Bernie Sanders. He's an independent from the great state of Vermont, though he, of course, leans very liberal. In fact, he is also a self-proclaimed socialist. So take that for whatever it's worth. The thing is, he makes an awful lot of sense. And here's Bernie.
At a time of massive wealth and income inequality, my Republican colleagues apparently believe that the richest people in this country need to be made even richer. It is apparently not good enough that 99% of all new income today is going to the top 1%. It is not good enough that the top 1/10 of 1% today own almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. Just not good enough. Clearly, in the eyes of many Republicans, the wealthy and the powerful need more help. Not only should they not be asked to pay more in taxes, my Republican colleagues believe that we should cut tax rates for millionaires and billionaires. It is not good enough that corporate America is enjoying record-breaking profits and that the CEOs of large corporations earn some 290 times more than what their average employees earn. It is apparently not good enough that since 1985, the top 1/10 of 1% has seen a more than $8 trillion increase in its wealth than what they would have had if wealth inequality had stayed at the same level that it was in 1985. An $8 trillion increase in wealth for the top 1/10 of 1%. But for many of my Republican colleagues, just not good enough.
Now, this is his typical tirade. Okay. He will go in on that and about fighting the 1% on pretty much every speech that he does, until he dies of some terrible coronary because his blood pressure is too high. But given, be that as it may, he then jumps in, I think, a few words here, into actually analyzing the budget.
Meanwhile, as I understand the Republican view of our country, as manifested in the House and Senate budgets, it appears that millions of middle class and working families, people who are working longer hours for lower wages, people who have seen significant declines in their standard of living over the last 40 years, these people apparently do not need our help. Rather, they need to see a major reduction in federal programs that make their lives and the lives of their children a little bit better. At a time when we have over 45 million Americans living in poverty, more than almost any time in the modern history of this country, my Republican colleagues think that we should increase that number by cutting the earned income tax credit, affordable housing, and Medicaid. At a time when almost 20% of our children live in poverty, the highest rate of childhood poverty in the industrialized world, my Republican colleagues think that maybe we should raise the childhood poverty rate a little bit higher.
Now, that is not to change the rate, but to simply add more into that mix. Because yeah. That's obviously a grand idea.
Of course, because they keep pushing it.
20% of all of our children live in poverty.
Yeah. It makes sense to add more. I mean, that's just
right.
Being sarcastic here, but
yeah.
Like, why?
Well, also from a purely cold calculus kind of way, poor people typically don't vote.
Because they're too busy working.
Yeah, they're too busy working because we don't have like a national holiday on those days or anything like that. I really think we ought to have that, but that's another story. Okay.
Yeah.
Back to Bernie or we'll never be done.
Cutting child care by cutting Head Start, by cutting the child tax credit, and by cutting nutrition programs for hungry children. To summarize, the rich get much richer and the Republicans think they need more help. The middle class and working families of this country become poorer, and the Republicans think we need to cut programs they desperately need. Frankly, that may be the priorities of some people in this room, but I do not believe that these are the priorities of the American people. Mr. Chairman, today the United States remains the only industrialized country on earth that does not guarantee health care to all of its people. We have about 40 million Americans who lack health insurance and millions more, as we all know, who are underinsured. Well, apparently that is not good enough for my Republican colleagues. They want to abolish the Affordable Care Act and take away the health insurance of some 16 million Americans who have gained insurance through that program. In other words, instead of having 40 million people uninsured, we would have 56 million people without health insurance. And then if you include the cuts in Medicaid that they propose for some of the most vulnerable families in America, that number goes even higher. Further, when you make massive cuts in Medicaid, you also cut the nursing home care for seniors, perhaps the most vulnerable and helpless people in our country. Is that really what we are about as a nation? I've talked a little bit about the devastating impact that the House and Senate Republican budgets would have on the American people, but equally important is what these budgets do not do, the serious problems they do not address. Poll after poll tells us that the issue that the American people are most concerned about is jobs, wages, and the economy. That's what the American people are mostly concerned about, and for good reasons. Despite a significant improvement in the economy over the last 6 years, since President Obama has been in office, real unemployment...
Oh, but we can't talk about that. They're going to deny at every level that the economy has improved at all in the last 6 years.
Of course.
Why? And if they do say anything about it, it's going to be because of their policies, because of their blockades of the black man in the White House.
Yep. And they push to do more because they'll help more by doing whatever they need to do.
Help more by doing less. That's Congress. Absolutely. Yeah. All the way.
Yeah,
all right. There's more minutes.
Employment today is not the official 5.5%. It is 11%. Youth unemployment is over 17%. And African-American youth unemployment is much higher than that. What the American people want and what the Republican budget ignores is the need to create millions of decent paying jobs. And in my view and in the view of economists all over this country, the fastest way to do that is to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure, our roads, bridges, water systems, wastewater plants, airports, dams, levees, and rural broadband. According to the American Society of Civil Engineers, we need to invest over $3 trillion by the year 2020 in our infrastructure. At a time...
$3 trillion just to prop up the stuff that's already here, that we're ignoring.
That's not even to build new.
That's not to build new. Well, it may be to replace. Replace entirely. Oh my gosh, wouldn't it be great to have a high-speed rail line from the East Coast to the West Coast? Wouldn't that be great? It's not going to happen.
Not in the budget.
Well, it'd cross too many states, and all those states would want to get their fingers in a pie. It would have to be a federal thing. Yep. You know, the reason why Japan can have these high-speed rails, why China can have high-speed rails, Korea, you know, why all of these other nations can have these things is because they don't have states mucking up the works and just getting it done. It's going to happen. It's a government project. It's going to happen. Done. You know, here, no, we have states' rights advocates that are all about blockading and keeping White House out of their backyards. It's just ridiculous. And of course, he continues.
When millions of Americans are working for starvation wages, and when the federal minimum wage remains an abysmal 7.25 an hour, we need a budget that substantially increases wages for low-income and middle-income workers. We also need pay equity in this country so that women do not make 78 cents on the dollar compared to men who do the same work. Further, we need to address the overtime scandal in this country, in which many of our people are working 50 or 60 hours a week and are not getting time and a half. Those are the issues that the American people are concerned about in Vermont and across this country. Unfortunately, the Republican budget refuses to address these issues of enormous consequence. I can tell you that in Vermont, and I suspect every state that we represent, young people and their families are enormously frustrated by the high cost of college education and the horrendously oppressive student debt that many of them leave school with. In fact, student debt today at $1.2 trillion is the second largest category of debt in this country.
$1.2 trillion for student debt. Stupid student loans. For degrees that people can't use because there aren't the jobs for them.
Yeah.
But colleges keep getting more and more expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're going to be, students are going to be paying them for them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the job market out there for those people that are not digging ditches, though, even digging a ditch may now require an engineering degree. I don't even know now how that is. But with all the jobs I've looked at, they all say bachelor's degree. Every one of them. They don't even seem to care what it's in.
No.
Just it has to be there. And
you have to prove that you've done something.
Yeah, and I kind of am of the mindset that I think it's like it's a fraternal order kind of thing where I went through it. I got my degree. So anybody that works under me, they better damn well do it too.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of rubber stamped there. It doesn't take into account that some people simply can't afford it. And also some people have lived the job as opposed to learned about the job to try to get the job.
Yep.
So there's a big disparity there, and there are a lot of doors that are closed to people like me. I do not have a degree. I don't need one to do what I'm doing. In fact, when I went over to ITT Tech, you know, one of those technical institutes that, you know, they've got campuses probably all over the place. And it's like, hey, you know, I'll go ahead and get certifications or something, you know, figure out what it is. They interviewed me and they wanted me in the classes to help teach the people in the class because of my experience. That wasn't going to get me any further. I still had to pay for the privilege of teaching the other people in the class how to do my job.
Oh, jeez.
That was how that was. Needless to say, I did not go.
No.
Because it's just not worth it.
No.
this is the state of jobs in this country. And it's, aggravating to say the least. Okay. I'll let Bernie get aggravated while I calm down.
Warning, credit card debt and auto loan debt. Does the Republican budget do anything to lower interest rates on student debt? In fact, their budget would make a bad situation even worse. Does the Republican budget support President Obama's initiative to make 2 years of community college free or any other effort to make college more affordable? Sadly, it does not. But what it does do is cut $90 billion in Pell Grants over a 10-year period. Mr. Chairman, my Republican colleagues are concerned about the deficit,
a lot,
which, by the way, has been reduced by more than two-thirds in the last 6 years. Every member on this side of the aisle is also concerned about the deficit. My Republican friends are concerned about an $18 trillion national debt. We are concerned.
Now, that's there is a point here that I want to make a little bit finer, and that is there is the deficit, and then there is the debt. Many people, when they start hearing that these numbers are being changed or they're being lowered or whatever, the language gets conflated with each other. Our country currently runs at an $800 billion deficit spending, meaning that we spend $800 billion a year more than we bring in taxes.
Because that's intelligent.
That is the deficit spending. And that then translates into $800 billion that goes on to the national debt. That's $16 trillion number that has the butterfly flying number at the end if you ever look at any of the counters.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that money goes. So in order to ever pay down the national debt, we have to zero out and have surplus in the deficit. The deficit has to go away. Spending has to be within the budget of, say, an American homeowner.
Yeah.
You can't spend more than you bring in and expect to ever get out of debt. But
exactly.
Right now, they're just trying to spend a little less.
They must have missed the home ec in school. I mean...
I mean, it's such a basic economic theory. A five-year-old with a piggy bank knows this better than the people in Congress. How? When 57% of our entire budget goes to shooting people in foreign countries because we're scared for mm-hmm. no reason, because we have all the bullets. They're not going to come here. Stop policing the world, save all that money, put those people to work building the roads, building the infrastructure, and pay down the debt.
Yeah.
All we have to, I really think all we have to do is stop shooting people.
That would be most of it.
I'm not even a pacifist. I just think that we should shoot less people.
Just drop the percentage.
Just drop the percentage. We don't need that much. When the military can't even figure out what they did with like $200 billion worth of ammunition and weapons.
Oops.
It's just not on the books. That also came out this week on a story that I'm not even going to cover because it's not worth it. Okay, Bernie, take it away.
Concern about an $18 trillion national debt. But what many of us recognize is that one reason in recent years that debt has gone up is we went into two wars and we forgot to pay for them.
We're shooting people.
We created an insurance-ridden Medicare Part D insurance program. Forgot to pay for that.
And that was Bush.
And we provided huge tax breaks for the wealthiest people in this country. Didn't offset it.
That was Reagan and Bush.
Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, the high national debt is an issue that we are also concerned about. But where we disagree is how you address the deficit and the debt. What we believe is that from a moral perspective and an economic perspective, you do not balance the budget on the backs of the elderly, the children, the sick and the poor, and then give tax breaks to the rich and large corporations. Today, major corporation after major corporation pays in a given year zero in federal income taxes. According to a recent...
I think that bears another little note, just to highlight it. If the major companies aren't paying anything into the country they operate in because mm-hmm. they've found all the loopholes of where to stash the money, where to squirrel it away, where to write it off here and there, no money goes into the coffers. They keep it all. And, well, an awful lot of the money that would be going into taxes is going into, well, lobbyist funds,
mm-hmm.
CPAC, and all those political action campaigns.
Yep. And moving stuff overseas so they can pay less taxes.
Yeah, I think he's going to say something about that here.
Report from the Congressional Research Service. Each and every year, profitable corporations are avoiding about $100 billion in taxes by stashing their profits in the Cayman Islands and other offshore tax havens. In 1952, corporations contributed about 32% of all federal revenue. Today, that number is about 11%. In terms of individual tax rates, we have the absurd situation where hedge fund managers who make hundreds of millions of dollars a year pay an effective tax rate lower than a truck driver or a nurse. Do you think anybody in America thinks that makes sense? And the last point that I want to make.
I should hope not.
Is that the best way we can do a budget, an effective budget, is to move to a full employment economy with jobs that are paying workers a living wage. When we do that, by investing in infrastructure, by investing in education, by investing in research and development, we not only improve the lives of millions of our people, we also take a major step forward in lowering the deficit and lowering mm-hmm. the national debt. Because when people are working at decent paying jobs, they are paying taxes. When they pay taxes and we increase revenue, we lower the national debt. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much, and I certainly look forward to the remainder of this hearing.
That would be Mr. Bernie Sanders. Thank you, Senator Sanders, for your keen insight and rage.
I
clipped like 5 minutes off the beginning of that, which was just basically the niceties of, thank you very much for coming in, and, you know, because he's actually the senior senator on the budget committee. So mm-hmm. that man there, that this was very pertinent because he actually has a major say in what happens. Thankfully, because apparently he actually did go to home ec, and he apparently can balance a goddamn checkbook.
Yep. Here's my question. Yep. All these corporations are getting out of paying taxes.
Yeah.
But yet they fought to make a corporation a person.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Corporate personhood. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So shouldn't them being a person living and residing in the United States pay taxes?
Well,
no, I know it's a nasty loop.
I would completely buy into the whole corporate personhood as soon as Texas executes one.
Yep. That would be interesting to see.
It's never going to fucking happen. That's the thing. Nope. It's just that's not a thing that's going to happen ever.
I know.
So
I know. But they fought for it one way, and they want to have it both ways. So
yeah, corporations make a great deal of sense. I mean, it removes the liability from the chair people that run it, so that in case something horrible happens to the company, they are not held personally liable. It looks great on paper. The only thing is they've got some very powerful lobbyists and great attorneys that are all in their pocket making that law better for them every year. And we've seen some of the unintended consequences of this action. You know, obviously, no, it's a fictional entity. A fictitious entity is actually the way it's described when I went and built a corporation many moons ago. it was a fictitious entity that you were registering. So they're making no bones that, this thing has any real personality here. But then we've got groups like Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood Products out of, you know, saying that, well, my corporation is, my corporation also has deeply held religious beliefs.
Yep.
That just happened to mirror my own and the board of directors.
Just happens. Yeah.
Just coincidentally.
Yeah. They attended the same religious organization venue.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. I don't see it, walking down the aisle for communion or anything. You know, I don't think that's going to happen either.
You must have missed it. You must have blinked.
Maybe I blinked. That must have been it. That must have been it. Or maybe I just can't remember. I don't know. Maybe I need to go in for this new Alzheimer's treatment that restores memory function. By the way, we're done with the budget now. That's going to go away. Thank you very much for that. That was the special part of the show. Now we get into the normal part of the show. Okay. So out on sciencealert.com, there is an article about a new Alzheimer's treatment that fully restores memory function. Of course, this is in mice that received the treatment, and 75% got their memories back. So that's a pretty good rate. And the real short version is that it basically they pound the brain with ultrasound, and it somehow loosens the amyloid plaques between neurons, and it opens up those pathways again. Apparently, they're called neurofibrillary tangles. Fibrillary, yeah. That'll work fine. They're found inside neurons of the brain, and they're caused by defective tau proteins that clump up into thick, insoluble masses. This tiny filament, then called microtubules, then they'll get all twisted, which disrupts the transportation of essential materials, such as nutrients and organelles among them, just like when you twist up a vacuum cleaner hose. So thanks to the weird complex series of tubes that apparently our brain is, basically just kind of pounding it with this ultrasound makes the plaque buildup go away, like what you'd do with maybe like a heart or something, I guess. And, yeah. You know, kind of really interesting. Actually, it's absolutely fascinating. And this could be the thing that saves so many. So many. Just recently, over the last week, we had Terry Pratchett pass away, which was, of course, very sad right after Pi Day. And he had a rare case of early onset Alzheimer's. And he was in his 60s, and he was already getting Alzheimer's. So he was in a bad, bad way. I mean, amazing how prolific he was with his writing before that happened. But really, I can't think of anything more terrifying for me than to lose my mind, quite literally to lose my mind and be locked up and not remember anything. I mean, in a way, it's probably fine if you're there. But if you remember that you can't remember, I think that would be absolutely terrifying. And since everyone would be telling you, well, no, you knew this. What's wrong? I think that it would get really bad really fast, and I would not be a happy camper. So hopefully we're among the generation that is going to be able to just kind of go in for like an afternoon therapy session and have our minds just spruced up a little bit.
Brainwash.
But in a good way.
Yes.
In a good way. The brain scrubbing. Yeah. I wonder
other celebrities.
The brain power wash or something. Yeah, definitely.
Pressure
just
wash.
Just keep it away from the Scientologists and we'll be okay.
I mean, there's been other celebrities. I mean, I follow Car Talk and one brother died from complications from Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So he was 70 early 70s. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But I think it was like 71 or something.
It's no good, man. It's no good at all. It's bad.
But, hey, they're going forward.
Yes.
Forward.
It's fantastic. I mean, Alzheimer's was one of those things. I just, like I said, I was terrified of it. I don't have any sign that it's anything that would pop up in my family, but it's not something that was really widely understood until now, apparently. So yep. they're making some headway, and that's fantastic. Now if they can just yep. work on Parkinson's and a few other of those, you know, neurological issues yeah. that we seem to get.
Yeah.
So we also seem wonderful scientists have come up with a new possibility for the origin of life conundrum here on this wonderful little green and blue planet of ours. Let's say the origin of life is a set of paradoxes. In order for life to have gotten started, there must have been a genetic molecule, something like DNA or RNA, capable of passing along blueprints for making proteins, the workhorse molecules of life. But modern cells can't copy DNA and RNA without the help of the proteins themselves. To make matter more vexing, none of these molecules can do their jobs without fatty lipids, which provide the membranes that cells need to hold their contents inside. And in yet another chicken and egg complication, protein-based enzymes encoded by genetic molecules are needed to then synthesize the lipids. So it's an enigma wrapped in a puzzle, stuck in a fortune cookie somewhere. But new researchers say that they may have solved these paradoxes. Chemists report today, and by today I mean March 16th, that a pair of simple compounds, which would have been abundant on Earth in the early forms of Earth, can give rise to a network of simple reactions that produce the three major classes of biomolecules: nucleic acids, amino acids, and lipids. These were, of course, needed for the earliest forms of life to get started. Although the new work does not prove that this is how life started, it may eventually help explain one of the deepest mysteries in modern science. So we've had these experiments where they had a mixture of enriched gases that they suspected were similar to the atmospheric conditions on the early Earth. So basically just a chemical cocktail in a big jar. And then they ran electrodes into the jar and basically zapped it like lightning. You know, it's in a miniature scale, but they did manage to get some organic molecules out of that. So we've known that this was possible, but they've apparently taken it to a new level and have managed to solidify some of those theories.
Yeah. Proof is good.
Yeah. So there is continued work on that. Obviously this doesn't really tell us exactly how things happened. But will we ever know? That's another question entirely. You can find this and all of the links to our articles out on our show notes out for O'Reilly Radio episode show 15. 15? 50. 50. 50.
Yeah.
Maybe I've been doing this too long. I don't know. But you can do that at O'ReillyRadio.com.
And almost 1 year.
Almost 1 year. We're right there. We're right there, man. Right there. Big 52. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do for a 1 year anniversary show. That's just going to be, it'll probably be exactly the same as this. Nothing really that interesting. I should have a party. I don't know what kind of party.
You have the I was going to say, you have the LED lights. All you need is a disco ball.
That's true. Well, yeah, I don't have a disco ball, and probably with good reason. So that I got a couple links for this particular story. One follows up from Nature.com, the journal Nature, about the common origins of RNA protein and lipid precursors in cyanosulfitic protometabolism.
So yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah, I think I nailed it. Absolutely, yep. I got that one.
Yeah.
Whatever. This is what I usually have Mike for. He can always, you know, spout these off effortlessly.
Yep. Well, I think you got the second part right. The first part, though, I just...
Cyanosulfitic? I think I got that.
Yeah, I think you got it, too.
I think I got it. Yeah. So let's move along into humanities, religion, and politics. So San Francisco, there's a church, St. Mary's Cathedral. They apparently have a small problem. Ooh. Homeless. Homeless folks were apparently just a little too close for comfort. A little too close for Christianity, I guess. Because they decided to install a sprinkler system specifically to ward them away. A drenching system.
Okay. So they're this organization that's supposed to help people and do all this nice stuff, and they drench people, and it's probably not warm out. Well, I guess San Francisco isn't cold, I guess, for say.
It's not. It's not frigid, chilly. But it is very chilly. Yeah, you want a jacket. Yeah. Almost all year long, you want to have a jacket close by. You know, it's at that right latitude where it's just perfect all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and still, I mean, I guess I don't know if they would be thinking, oh, yeah, they'd get a shower too, but that's just not right.
No, I really don't think that this had anything humanitarian about it. KCBS reported that the no trespassing signs outside the primary church for Archdiocese of San Francisco, St. Mary's Cathedral, did not mention what would happen to the homeless who tried to sleep under the cover of the building's doorway. At random times throughout the night, water pours from a hole in the ceiling about 30 feet above, drenching the alcove and anyone in it. The shower ran for about 75 seconds every 30 to 60 minutes. While we were there, starting before sunset, simultaneously in all four doorways, KCBS witnessed it soak homeless people and their belongings. A homeless person named Robert told KCBS that people continued to risk their own health by sleeping under the shower. Quote, "We're going to be wet there all night, so hypothermia, cold, all that other stuff could set in, keeping the church clean, but it could make people sick."
Yeah.
Yeah. True. A neighbor pointed out that KCBS, of course, this is the local affiliate, that the watering system was not only inhumane, but it also just an absolute waste of water during the serious drought.
Yep.
Because California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just do that. Yeah, let's just hurt people and waste water. Because that's the right thing to do, obviously.
Yeah, cathedral staff confirmed that the system had been in place for about a year and that it was intended to discourage homeless people from seeking shelter in the church's doorway. Quote, "We do the best we can and supporting the dignity of each person," Archdiocese spokesman Chris Lyford said. "But there is only so much you can do." You could,
they could have done
stop
less.
Hosing them, maybe. That's something. Perhaps. Yeah, it's
maybe.
Not so good. Not so good. We got a couple links from that. One was from Raw Story and the other one is San Francisco CBS Local. I'm imagining that's the direct affiliate. Utah also passed a historic legislation against gender orientation, sexual orientation, and gender identity discrimination. Against discrimination. Utah.
Yay.
Against discrimination. Just
wow.
Yeah, I just have to, it's like, wait a second. Okay, okay, right. Okay. Alrighty. I think I got this now. Okay. On March 12, Utah Governor Gary Herbert signed into law newly enacted legislation aimed at preventing employment and housing discrimination against gays, lesbians, and transgender individuals. The monumental legislation amends the state's anti-discrimination law to prohibit employers statewide from making employment decisions based on an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity. Under the law, a person's sexual orientation or gender identity cannot be the basis for refusing to hire, refuse to promote, demoting, or terminating him or her. Well, that's good. We don't want them killed. Utah law already banned employment discrimination on the basis of race, sex, age, religion, pregnancy, national origin, and disability. Good on ya.
Yay.
Good Good on you. Yay. Big applause there. I don't think we need to say any more about that. Good on you. We definitely want to see things like that. So in, I think we'll stay in kind of state news. But this is not so good. Oklahoma. The Oklahoma House passed a bill restricting marriage to people of faith.
Okay.
Yeah. A bill that would restrict the right to marry to people of faith and would mandate all marriage licenses be approved by a member of the clergy was approved by the Oklahoma House State House on Tuesday. The bill approved by a Republican majority now goes to the state Senate for consideration. House Bill 1125, sponsored by Republican State Representative Todd Russ, is a radical measure that would end secular marriage licenses in the state. In addition, the bill would bar all judges and other secular officials from performing marriages in Oklahoma. Under the legislation, atheists and others not wanting to be married by a religious official could file an affidavit through the clerk of court's office claiming a common law marriage. I believe, however, as this was coming up, you know, this may be the second time that we're covering this. I can't remember.
I don't remember this one. But what
did happen was that common law marriages aren't allowed in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Just like they aren't in Florida either.
Right. So. However, you can claim one that isn't legal.
So, why are they doing this? Why? I assume they don't want gay and lesbian marriages.
So. Republican supporters of the legislation want to remove the state from the marriage process. Representative Dennis Johnson, a Republican, said, he said, marriage was not instituted by government. It was instituted by God. There is no reason for Oklahoma or any state to be involved in marriage. So, to answer your question, because God.
Okay. Yeah,
yes.
Just because.
Because God. Mm-hmm. It is just because. Yeah, pretty much. So.
Yeah. And I for everybody's benefit, I hope that fails to go through the Senate.
I don't care if it does or doesn't, because at some point the Supreme Court is going to have to side with marriage equality, and it'll be a national thing.
Yeah, because they already have, and other things. I mean, within reason.
Yeah, I'm saying it's essentially a foregone conclusion, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
The Scalia hasn't sung on this one yet. Yeah.
Not yet.
No. However, in more positive news, Obama has ordered federal agencies to cut carbon emissions by 40% within 10 years. Which is fantastic. And he also is pushing to get federal agencies up to 25% of their electricity being purchased from carbon-free sources like wind or solar by 2025.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know some federal agencies are already doing stuff like that. I know the DOT here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Their big office building is run primarily on solar, I believe. I don't know the percentage, but...
I don't know if it's entirely, but I know that it's definitely supplemented.
I think it's a fairly high amount.
They do have some big size farms there, you know, like out on the turnpike.
Yep.
Those, yeah. Yeah, if you're ever driving down the wonderful interstate Florida known as the turnpike, you'll see various rest areas in the middle. And in those, you may see a big farm of solar panels just right in the middle. Mm-hmm. And that's feeding into those buildings right there.
Yep. And at the large office building, they have a bunch as well, and that's the one I'm thinking of. One of the major offices.
So. Excellent. That is fantastic. Yeah. So hopefully we'll definitely see more of that. I, of course, we can't say things like climate change and things like that at the governmental level here in the wonderful state of Florida. So
no, because that's not legal. And I know you guys already discussed that. So.
We did. You've been listening while we've been gone? While you've been gone?
I've started a few and I need to get finished on them, but.
It's okay. Definitely. Please subscribe and have those hits count for us.
I'm subscribed. And like I say, I've started listening to one and then I skipped and started listening to another and I need to go back and finish.
I try to make the file sizes as small as possible, even though they may be long as hell.
They're both on my phone. I just need to get there.
Excellent. Well, we'll definitely keep you entertained on those long drives.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
So yes, this of course is all part of Obama's broader plan to tackle climate change, albeit a very small part. Federal government is only responsible for about 0.6% of U.S. emissions. The bigger effect might be on the broader supply chain. So we definitely have a long way to go, but please.
Talking about emissions.
Yeah. Talking about emissions, indeed. Segway expert Don has come up with that one. Someone on a British Airways 747 went to the bathroom.
Jeez, that's a big thing.
Yeah. I didn't realize that it was one of the. It's a 747-400. That's a big plane.
Yeah, when I heard the story, I didn't know what type of plane it was.
I was thinking it's like, okay, that's like plane. 737 or something, you know, it's not that. Oh, it's a 747 heavy. Okay. Yeah. Well, just to cut to the chase, they cut the cheese. They had a turd so bad and so smelly that the plane had to turn around mid-flight. British Airways flight was forced to turn around and land over the weekend because somebody did a shit so bad the plane was essentially rendered useless. Imagine living your life in the knowledge that you once turded so appallingly that a 747-400 had to turn around and land. Your liquid shit bought a $533 million airplane juddering out of the sky. Imagine looking your loved ones in the face after that. Imagine hugging your mom. You couldn't. Your asshole is essentially a terrorist. Your asshole is a terrorist. That's what got me to this. Like, what was... No.
That's a good saying. That's a funny saying, at least.
Yeah. Hertzmer Tory counselor... Abshvik Shved, I'm not going to get that name, who was clearly not heard the he who smelt it dealt it directive, happened to be on the flight, and as well as tweeting his response, insane, our British Airways flight to Dubai returned back to Heathrow because of a smelly poo in the toilet, 15 hours until next flight, British Airways, hashtag British Airways. Also spoke to the Daily Mail about the ordeal. Again, imagine making a smell so bad, a Tory councillor talks to a national paper about it.
Jeez.
That's...
Yeah.
Epic poo. This is epic. And yes, I was quoting directly from the Vice article on this because wow.
The pilot made an announcement requesting senior cabin crew and we knew something was a bit odd.
Oh my.
He said about 10 minutes later, he said, you may have noticed there's quite a pungent smell coming from one of the toilets. He said it was liquid fecal excrement. Those are the words he used. Oh, great.
Someone had a bit of the runs.
Just a little bit.
Oh, wow. That's just horrible. I'm so sorry for that person. I really am.
It's really, I mean,
it's terrible.
It may not necessarily be their fault. So,
but you know, a fart joke is always funny, and they pulled a fart joke actually on the entire British Airways fleet right there.
Yeah.
So that's impressive.
The informed knowledge of the liquid state of the turd in question sort of suggests the pilot actually went and looked at the mess himself, and in which case he did, or did he hold his note? Hold his special pilot's hat over his nose.
I imagine it was one of those, oh, what the hell's going on? Oh my God. Oh no. Oh, what the? Close it, start taping it off, you know, whatever you can do to get rid of it. That's just, I can only think that had to be what it was. But ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the news. Dun, dun, dun. What a thing to go out on. We're not even going to talk about, Florida because seriously, who wants to follow that shit? Nobody. Nobody is going to follow that shit. Even Florida can outdo that one.
Actually, no, wait. What if it was a Floridian?
It probably was. I don't know. I have no idea.
Somebody fresh from Disney World.
It's perfectly possible with, yeah, it was a measles poo or something. Something terrible like that. Okay. So Entertainment Reviews Nitpicks. I found today that there is a board game out on Kickstarter. It has been funded, so it will be out eventually. I've had pretty good luck with Kickstarter, as you might have noticed from last week or the week before that. This one is a Tesla versus Edison board game. Yes.
That looks interesting.
It's all about kind of an R&D thing. There's five different inventor groups. So there's Tesla, there's Edison, and then three others that were contemporaries at the time. And it's really well done. It's, you know, it's getting some really great reviews. Apparently it's only like a 30-minute game per player. So the more players you add, up to five, it's 2 to 5 players. So if you've got 4 people playing, you're going to be playing for 2 hours.
Hmm.
So, and that's honestly, fine. Some of the board games I've been playing lately, that's a walk in the park. That's nothing. But, there's a whole commerce thing with like a stock market, you know, getting investors and that relationship, and then, you know, maintaining a hold on like a distribution chain thing. It's pretty intricate. And there's a lot of interesting stuff. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And the artwork is really fantastic on it. So you can find that, that link, right there in Entertainment Reviews, kickstarter.com/Artana, ArTANA/ Tesla dash VS Edison. Don, did you have anything that you'd want to add?
Yeah, I'll I guess plug the thing I just purchased. I don't have it yet, but the Raspberry Pi 2 sounds kind of neat. I bought the whole kit with the case and power supply and all that nice stuff. They have the wireless adapter and a 8 gig micro SD card with the software on it. And so that will be a fun little toy to play with.
Yeah.
I'm looking probably to do the home media server, maybe with that rather than a NAS or a network storage appliance.
If
we'll see.
Serves,
it's worth a shot.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If memory serves, that's only running USB 2, right? It's not,
Yeah, so that's one downside. Then I'm not sure if that should be okay, but
it will be.
I mean, not for a lot of.
I mean, yeah. That's still 480 megabits a second, so that'll be perfectly fine for streaming any media off an attached drive. So yeah, you'll still be fine with that. Good stuff. I love those. I haven't done it yet. I was actually thinking about getting in the whole Arduino thing, but honestly, if anybody's looking at the video, you know I've got enough going on behind me. I've got stuff. So,
yep.
I don't honestly need another project. And I convince myself of this by saying the longer I wait, the better they'll be when I get there.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I was wanting to wait, but I just bit the bullet and decided to
hit the purchase button this morning.
Well, it's like six times faster than the original and at the same price.
Yep.
I mean, that's significant.
The kit, I think, was like $66 with all the extra stuff. So.
Oh, cool.
The base price is still $35.
Yeah. Yeah, that's still fantastic. And
for a quad-core processor.
yes. And that Microsoft has said that they will allow Windows 10 to be run on it for free.
Yep.
A special release of it. So that's going to be pretty outstanding. Can't wait to see how that goes. Also, in other news that we heard this week, Windows 10 is going to be free to install on any computer that is currently running XP, Windows 7, probably Vista, and Windows 8 releases, including pirated copies. Even non-genuine copies of Windows are allowed to upgrade for free. This is how serious Microsoft is about owning the computer desktop ecosystem, about having everybody locked into it and being able to control the footprint better. I mean, it's a serious effort because they're giving away a big chunk of change there to maintain the ecosystem, because they do now with Windows 8, there is a marketplace where you can buy apps similar to the way Apple does it. So it's an interesting strategy. And most likely when Windows 11 comes around, there'll be like a modest fee to upgrade in place.
So like, getting people started over again.
Exactly. So get everybody into it, and then you can get them on the next upgrade whenever it comes down or not. You know, be that like $20 or $30 for the next version. That's cheap enough that no one should stop. No one should not do it. You should just
either
do
that
it.
Either that or they're going to release a service plan like everything else where you pay monthly or something.
I'm sure that would be an option because they have that for Office 365, which is really pretty a sweet deal as well. Especially for those that those that have kids, but Microsoft is also partnered with most of the boards of education out there to offer Office 365 for free for eligible students, not for faculty, but for the students.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and in most businesses that have licenses, the employees can get it.
Yeah, at a significantly discounted rate. I know that I got one or the other. I got Office 2015, I guess. Yeah. For the machine that I'm talking to everyone on, for $10 through work.
Yep. I know I had it through my previous employer. My wife has it through her employer. They allow a few copies per a few installs on personal machines for each of their employees, each of their registered people. Yeah, all you need to do is go into the thing and just download it and install it. They have like a certain number of licenses for each name.
Yeah, the home use criteria. Yeah. It's pretty amazing, and I think that it's really the only way that they can maintain their foothold on the industry. Because with the advances in Ubuntu and just free open source Linux, it's really usable now. I mean, if you really were concerned that you weren't going to be able to do something just out of the box, I recommend go download yourself a live CD from Ubuntu.com, U-B-U-N-T-U, Ubuntu.com or .org, and give it a try. You know, you don't have to install it. You know, it'll run as a live CD, and then it'll give you a taste for it. And really, everything just works. It's come a long way. And with that, there's open source versions of Office. So as long as you're not doing something that is really Office intensive, you know, like you have a spreadsheet and you have a particular way that you have to do a pivot table or something, or you're dealing with data set sizes that are really industry unique, you know, big data sets. Then you're going to need something a little more tailored, to run such large things. But otherwise, there's OpenOffice, there's StarOffice, there's LibreOffice, there's the wide array of things that you can just do in the web browser. I mean, cause you can actually do a great deal of Excel, Word. I'm not sure if you can do PowerPoint in the browser or not, but there is an Office in the cloud already. And then of course there's all the offerings from Google. Google Docs and Google Sheets and their presentation packages, they are quite good. There's obvious limitations to all of these things, but they're improving all the time. And really, for most people, I know that some of the people that might be listening to my voice are certainly not most people, but for most people out there, for grandma, grandpa, and all the others out there, really, just a Google account is going to get them the amount of Office that they need. And then they could just get a live.com address or an outlook.com address through Office, through Microsoft, and have a pretty decent Office package right there in the web browser, including OneNote, which is really fantastic for students and taking notes. I'm really a big fan of OneNote as well. So. Another comparison to OneNote would be Google Keep or Evernote. Those are the big players in that little note taking space. So.
Yep.
Well, I didn't mean to go on that little tirade, but apparently I needed to. So why not? Yeah. Do you have anything left to add, my friend?
I think I am complete.
You're done. I'm done too. Said I'm done. There it goes. No, wait. Did you have something?
No, that was...
Okay. That's it for us tonight. We'll be back next Friday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. In the meantime, the conversation should continue on the web. Go head over to orellyradio.com. That's orellyradio.com for all the links right up there at the top of the page. Do watch us live if you can. We do have somebody out there that's watching the stream. Thank you very much. And hey, chat in the IRC. We do have one of those out there on the webpage too. If you've liked what we do here, you can help keep the lights on and keep us producing by following the Help Us link on the webpage. And that'll take you over to patreon.com/Cowan, patreon.com, Cowan, C-O-W-E-N, that's me. Hi. And you, like Don, can invest your hard-earned cash in this show. Thank you very much, Don, for all your help over the time.
No problem.
Of course, if that's too rich for you, you know, there's other ways to contribute. You could send us topic ideas, corrections, advertising offers, unclaimed lottery tickets, that's always nice. Hate mail, that's fine too. Unsolicited advice, we'll take it all by emailing us at orellyradiopodcast@gmail.com. You could also talk to us. Leave us a voicemail, 470-222-ORLY or 6759. Also, hey, we got a subreddit. You can post your show, post your topic ideas, your links, and then you can vote on ones that are up there already. I don't think there's anything there right now, but come on. You can do it. You can do it. Let us know about it. And the most important thing that you could possibly do for the show is wherever you found us, on whatever aggregator for RSS podcasty listening stuff that you do, whether it be iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, or other, go over there and leave us a review. I don't even care what the review is. It could be positive. It could be negative. I, of course, prefer positive. But, hey, we need some reviews. Get us out there. That's how we can spread the show. You can also like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Google+. And, of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can see my face talking into this giant microphone every week. We can't thank you enough for spending some time with us tonight. And until next time, this has been Oh Really Radio, part of the Cowan Services Network. Music for the show was created by Kevin McLeod of Incomptech.com.
Thanks, everybody. And I know that it's around here somewhere. There it is. Stop the broadcast. it's all going to be done right now. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Successfully terminated.
It's in the can.
It's in the can.